Now, those of you who are familiar with the Psalms know that there are 150 of them. And so you're thinking, how in the world did he select six to come up with a sermon series that really has no title? But if you were to ask me, what was my pressing need that I was looking to meet by turning to these Psalms, it is to address the very serious circumstances that we find ourselves in, and to address some of the anxieties that are emerging maybe in us as individuals, but certainly as a society. So this morning, I want us to give our careful attention to Psalm 30. It is a psalm that is written by King David, and it appears from this psalm that David has just recovered from a very serious illness. What I find striking about the psalm is the mix of authentic lament and exuberant praise. Now, those are two things you don't normally see together. Authentic lament or grieving and exuberant praise. So the psalm is a bit of a roller coaster ride in terms of how it describes David's circumstances and his predicament. David is challenged by enemies, he has been brought low by a physical illness, and he feels as though the Lord has withdrawn the hand of his favor. And as I read this psalm, I'm mindful of how some of you watching at home are feeling, how you may be struggling in a variety of ways. Some of us were struggling even before the onset of COVID-19. Some of you were struggling in personal relationships, struggling in your marriage, struggling with your children, struggling with your parents. Some of you were struggling because of a lack of resources or unemployment. Some of you have been grieving the failing health or the compromised health of someone you love. Some have been grieving loved ones who have recently died, and we're missing them. And then COVID-19 descends upon us. COVID-19 not only exacerbated our existing challenges, but in many ways, COVID-19 added to our challenges. There are some who were thriving before COVID-19 who now feel as though the rug has been pulled from underneath them. Successful businesses now find themselves in a rather fragile state. Weddings and funerals have been postponed. Graduation ceremonies have been canceled. Travel plans put on hold. There is a growing insecurity and restlessness around what lies ahead. This afternoon at 3 p.m., the Prime Minister of the Bahamas will be speaking, and it has our attention because we are anxious about what's next. We want to know what next week might look like. And on top of all of the things we're struggling with, there's this accumulative effect of being largely confined to our homes for 6+ weeks. Mental health is getting a lot of attention these days, and so it should. And I don't pretend to understand all of the complexities that surround mental health, but I do want to address and exhort you towards a timeless remedy for fear and anxiety. In these uncertain, anxious times, I want to point you to a sure remedy that will help us cope with fear and worry. I want to exhort you this morning quite simply, if to put it in the most general of terms, I want to exhort you this morning to live in close proximity to Jesus Christ. live in close connection to the Lord Almighty. Now, even though the circumstances of David's life appear to put him on a kind of emotional roller coaster, I want you to notice that one thing remained consistent during this roller coaster of feelings. David is unceasing in his pursuit of the Lord. Notice that in the good times and in the bad times, David doesn't stop seeking the Lord. David does not give up on God, and God certainly does not give up on David. If your Bibles are open, you'll see the psalm begins with David praising the Lord. Praising the Lord for all of the ways in which the Lord has delivered David from harm. And there is an ingredient present in these early verses that we find consistent throughout this psalm. And that is David calling out to the Lord in prayer. David calling out to the Lord in prayer. Now, on the one hand, God in His sovereignty can and often does act on His own accord. What am I saying? God does not need our prayers in order to do something. God, because He is God, God, because He is sovereign and in control, can intervene and act at any time. He does not require our prayers. That's true on the one hand. But on the other hand, we ought to know what the Bible teaches, that God in His sovereignty has ordained to act in response to the prayers of His children. So God, not because He is reactive, but God, because He is sovereign, has foreordained that He will listen to His children when they call out to Him. And friends, this is exactly what we see in verse 2. David says, O Lord my God, I cried to You for help, and You have healed me. I cried to You for help, and You healed me. Now, what I don't want us to do is I don't want us to imagine that God is like a genie, always ready to give a quick fix to all of our problems. No, that's not what's happening here. David's psalm appears to cover a rather protracted timeline. The sense is that David not only languished for quite a season, but that he languished on several occasions because of the multiple challenges he was facing. And on each occasion, David cries out to the one who has the capacity to deliver him. O Lord, my God, I cried to You for help, and You have healed me. Clearly, David persisted in prayer, and so should we. Indeed, as we transition to verses 4 and 5, David breaks away from praising the Lord to exhorting his fellow saints to praise the Lord. He says, sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. Charles Spurgeon would have us note the particular reference to His saints. His saints. That's the language of ownership. That's the language of owed allegiance. Friends, you are not being called to praise as Presbyterian saints, as beautiful as that sounds. Nor are you being called to praise as saints of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Kirk. You are being called to praise as God's saints. You are God's saints whom He purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you would be His eternal possession. Sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. As we advance in our attention to verse 5, you'll notice something sobering, but you'll also read something heartening. For His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Now I realize there are people out there who will not consider that the Lord gets angry. For some people, the notion of God's disapproval and His disapproving of things we do is not something they want to entertain. And such persons may even point to the Scriptures to make their point. They will point to God's love and His kindness, and they wish to think of God exclusively in these terms. Indeed, God is love. 1 John 4:8, God is love incarnate. God is love. Indeed, God is kind, the most perfectly kind being there is. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. But the Bible also tells us that God is holy. The Bible tells us that God hates wickedness. He hates it. And so we make a mistake. We err if we want to pluck out, or if we choose to ignore, certain attributes of God that make us feel uncomfortable. The better course is that we get the proportions right. For His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Well, what does God's anger or disapproval look like for the Christian? You're watching from home, wherever you may be tuning in from. You're wondering, what does God's anger towards me look like? What is the manifestation of God's disapproval in my life, if we were to take these things seriously? Well, for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus Christ, God's disapproval of the sin we commit, His disapproval comes to us in the form of loving and corrective discipline. Discipline that's aimed at promoting our growth in holiness. And the author of Hebrews captures this. Speaking about discipline, the author of Hebrews declares, when God disciplines you, He's treating you as a son or as a daughter. When God disciplines you, it's a proof of His care and affection and love for you. The author of Hebrews goes on to say, God disciplines you for your good, in order that we may share in His holiness. It should also be noted that discipline and punishment are very different things. I realize if you go on Google right now and you type in synonyms for discipline, punishment comes up, or synonyms for punishment and discipline comes up. But biblically speaking, discipline and punishment are very different. Every Christian should expect to be disciplined by God. Every Christian should expect loving correction from God. And while that discipline never at the time seems pleasant, it is a blessed alternative to punishment. And thanks be to God, the person who is in Christ will never be punished for their sin. The person who is in Christ will never be punished for their sin. When Jesus died on the cross, He took all of our upon himself. Because Jesus was punished on the cross for sin. Listen to this. Because Jesus was punished on the cross for sin, you will never be punished for your sins if you are in Christ. So not only is God's anger for a moment, but God's anger is applied as loving, corrective discipline that's aimed to benefit His children. And upon His children, God sets His favor for our whole life. For a lifetime, David says. Notice what David does not say. Well, first, let's get to that key verse which gives us the title of this morning's message. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Again, notice the proportion, notice the timeline, notice the timeliness and the shift. Weeping may come for a night, but joy comes with the morning. So notice what David doesn't say. David doesn't say God's children will never suffer. God's children will never be in pain. You're all supposed to live your best life now. You're not supposed to have any negativity or pain or suffering in your life. That's not what David is saying. Nor does David say that God's children will never grieve or suffer hardship or setbacks. What David does confess is that sadness and hardship are temporary. Sadness and hardship are temporary. Moreover, David is confessing that for the child of God, our story will always end well. That it's a happy ending for all of God's children. God's disapproval touches our lives on occasion, but His favor never ever leaves us. We may experience sad and difficult seasons, but these seasons will give way to joy. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. These are beautiful, encouraging realities for the child of God to consider. But friends, I want you to do much more than simply consider these realities this morning. I want you to fight for these realities. I want you to go after these realities. I want you to be like Jacob, and I want you to wrestle with God until you discern the favor that He set on you. Like David in this psalm, I want you to persist in seeking God's assistance. Look at the psalm. Look at the frequency and nature of His pleas. Verse 2. O Lord, my God, I cried to You for help. How do we read that? Well, pardon me, Lord. I realize You're the creator of the universe. You must be super busy right now. You've got a lot going on. You've got a pandemic. You've got all sorts of things that You're working on. I do have a little difficulty, and I hope if You could just take... No! He is sovereign over all. Not a sparrow falls apart from His knowledge. The hairs of our heads are counted. He sees us. He hears His children when they cry. To You, O Lord, verse 8. To You, O Lord, I cry and I plead for mercy. He's pleading. He's begging. Pardon me, Lord. No! He's begging. He's calling out for assistance. Verse 10. Hear, O Lord. It almost sounds demanding. O Lord, be merciful to me. Listen to this. O Lord, be my helper. David's not being calm or reserved or polite. Imagine a conversation with me. Imagine a conversation where one of David's friends asks him a question. David, how are you coping with all of this? You've had a very difficult season in life. You have enemies constantly pursuing you. You've had this very serious illness. You've had all kinds of threats to your authority and your rule. David, how are you coping with all of this? Now, can you imagine David replying to the question saying, oh, it's not that bad. I know it must look terrible to all of you looking on in my life, but it's not that bad. God has everything under control. God's got this. God's way is best. Everything's going to be fine. Don't pay any mind to this. This is going to turn out just fine. David would never respond like that. He would never, he doesn't respond like this. That's not what we see from David if you know the Psalms. If you know the Psalms, you know that David's faith in the Lord, David's confidence in the Lord, never causes him to diminish the seriousness of what he's facing. David's unwavering trust in the Lord never causes him to downplay the sorrow and the pain that he's feeling. I want you to know that David's instinct is one to cry for help. David's pattern is to beg and to plead for God's assistance. Oh Lord, be my helper. I need you. A few days ago, I asked Omar if he would do us the favor of going and getting lunch for us both. You see, I had skipped breakfast, which I admittedly am prone to do, but I had skipped breakfast and I found myself particularly hungry that day. And so I asked Omar if he would be willing to get us some lunch. And kindly, he said, yeah, that's no problem at all. And then he went about his work. So a few minutes later, I called Omar and I said, Omar, you're going to be able to get this lunch that I was hoping you would get for us? He says, oh yeah, no problem. I just need to finish what I'm working on. Now, if you've ever gone maybe too long without eating, you know that feeling your body gets. It's a kind of desperation that builds up, that you need food and you need it now. And that was the feeling that I was experiencing. And so I called Omar a third time. I said, Omar, I'm very sorry to keep pestering you, but I am extremely hungry. I feel like I'm starving and I'm going to be in trouble if I don't get food. So please go and get us some lunch. And he did. And it was excellent. And I was a normal person once I ate. Now, friends, I'm not suggesting that we need to twist God's arm to get what we need. That's not what I'm saying. We don't need to twist God's arm. Quite the contrary. Nor am I suggesting that God is a reluctant helper, that if we don't repeatedly make our case, he is otherwise unwilling to help us. That's not what I'm saying. However, if David's Psalms are to be instructive for us, they teach us to pursue God in a particular way. David is instructing us to pursue God with some desperation, to pursue God like we mean it, to pursue him with some feeling and some zeal. I want you to be hungry for what the Lord promises to give you. Don't shrug your shoulders and say, oh, I'll get it when I get it. Everything will be fine. No, be hungry for what God wants to give you. It's possible your perception of your need for God may need awakening. Your perception of your need of God may need to be sharpened. And what we see in Scripture is that adversity helps that along. Yes, even prolonged suffering and hardship helps to awaken us to our need for God. And what I want to share with you this morning is that when you pursue God as a child of God, when you pursue the Lord as David did, you can expect an outcome similar to what he experienced. So look at how he closes out Psalm 30. David says, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." For many of you who are watching, this has been a season of hardship and suffering for you. And so I want to urge you simply this morning, go after God. Go after God and mean it. Let your desperation, the desperation you feel in your circumstances, the desperation you feel in your vulnerability, the desperation you feel in your need, let that desperation become the fuel for your prayer. That the more desperate and anxious you feel, the more zealous in prayer you are. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy will come with the morning. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you being in Christ by faith, this guarantees a blessed ending for you. Joy will most certainly come in the morning for you and for me. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray.